here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's good for us to be here. Thank you, Lord. Can you please be seated? Did you welcome somebody to church? So it's good for us to be here. So is it good we are here together? All right. Good we're here together. I'm so excited to see you today. And I thank God for His Word. I thank God for His Word. You know, the Word of God is just changing our lives, empowering us. And today again, we are said to be changed and to be empowered by the Word of God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, we've been on the conversation about the life of God that is in us and how we must use that life to deal with the sin nature. The sin nature in man would want to rear its head and come out manifest itself through our bodies. And because we are afraid to talk about the sin nature, somehow I don't know why the church just kind of covered that aspect of this conversation. Many believers are allowing that nature to still have its way through their lives, right? They are allowing that nature to have its way through their lives and they're not experiencing the victory of the cross. The victory of the cross, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He dealt with sin, He destroyed self, and destroyed Satan. Hallelujah. We've been talking about this for weeks now, and today I just want to show you again. I'm coming from another place where I'll show you about, talk to you about the fact that the true nature of a believer is that the believer is alive to God. Right? Alive to God and dead to sin. It's easy for us somehow to say that we are alive to God, but we do not acknowledge or we've not seen the reality of being dead indeed to sin. And that becomes a difficulty for a believer, because it says Jesus Christ came and died and then He took away my sins that we've been talking about. We know we've been talking about that. And then we are told, so let me try again this message, but I'm a little bit distracted. I'm going to be frank with you. That fan, that noise, I don't like it. It's just there. So can you do something that just put it off or something? I think when you cleaned it yesterday, you started. I'm a little bit distracted. Sorry. All right. My conversation is the fact that we are alive to God. I want to really focus on that, being alive to God, and show you that when we say we are alive to God, we are dead to sin. But can we start off from something? Okay. Are you still here? Say, Pastor, you're so bubbly. I agree. If you're angry, I agree. I ask for your forgiveness. Are we together? All right. Okay, let me start off from something I enjoy, something we talked about last week, because it's about what we're talking about today, and then I enjoyed it last week also. I just a thought. We're not going to talk scriptures yet. We're going to Acts 3, but remember I told you we looked at Genesis chapter 3, where we saw Satan, right? And we saw that Satan could dare do nothing to Adam and Eve because they were alive to God, and they were connected to God. They were alive to God. And there was no connection to sin. And so he came in. He could not, because there was no, they were alive to God and they were dead to sin. He could not bring in death, right? Because death only came into the world after sin. And so we see that when we are talking about the death of Jesus Christ, we should first of all see, the first thing we should see. I know it's strange. I don't strive for popularity. I'm sorry. Again, you would probably, you love your pastor. You say, I can't do that stuff. Because we should first of all see that he dealt with sin. He dealt with sin, and sin and self, I've told you, they are merged somehow, because every sin is lifting, glorifying self above the law of God, above the instruction of God. That's what every sin is. So, when self comes in against what God has said, then we are dealing with sin. So, he destroyed and damaged sin and self and Satan. So, we can, again, I think I said this last week, that we can freely now worship God and truly appreciate God for Jesus, for what he has done for us. It was because it is because of Jesus Christ that you and I have peace with God. It's because of Jesus Christ that we have peace with God at all to begin with. It is because now that we have peace with God, we cannot have power in our lives to deal with the consequence of death, sin, which is what? Death. So there will be true worship from our hearts to God. There will be true reverence, even true love. True love. I said true love. Because he that has been forgiven much will love what? Will love much. If we don't see that he died for our sins and took our sins away, we cannot, maybe we truthfully, we cannot really love God. Because we as if nothing has happened. The sin is still there. The nature is still there. It still raises its head here and there, and somehow it flows through my members. What has he done? I don't know. I still will go out and not do the things I really want to do. So, alas, Christian, I'm a Christian, I know, but I don't really know. Then the devil is still raging everywhere. I can see him, not just in the lives of people, but around me. He still touches my body, he does that stuff, so he's still there. So we don't see what he has done. So somebody can say, I'm a Christian, a believer, and he cannot appreciate Jesus Christ. And then here comes a good pastor. The goal is to shout and to tell you and to say, yes, you have victory over Satan. And then everybody wants to have that victory. So you say, yes. And then by faith, you begin to resist Satan. Remember again, with no real appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done. How you got the victory over Satan, we don't really know. So, again, now I am flowing in a thought. This is not in my conversation, but I think I should just show it to you because it's a part of my thoughts, but not in my conversation to my notes. So, let me just start from Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll be doing scriptures like this, and I want to try to be slow because people miss what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he wiped away our sins, forgave us our sins, right? And the penalty for whatever you will do from now till you die, he has dealt with it when he died on the cross. And, come on, can you say and? And he gave us power also to resist and to deal with sin in our lives. Amen? So I'm going to my topic, because it's very powerful, very instructional. You see Jesus now. Jesus, in verse number 14. In verse number 14, he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, right? He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the what? Power of death. That is what? The devil. So he came and through his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. To destroy means now that he made him inoperative. He made Satan inoperative. Destroy. The thing is destroyed, it means it doesn't work. It cannot work. Right? And it is, how did he do that? He died. Are we here? Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. He made the Satan inoperative through his death. What you see there now is sin. It is sin. It's connected to my title. So I did all my work together. I always tell them, I said, be alert, because I'm going to be throwing the scripture out. It's connected. I want to show you. He died. How did he now destroy him when he went to die? Have you asked yourself the question? Jesus Christ went to the cross and died. And when he died, he said he destroyed him that had the power of death. He destroyed him. You and I know the word destroy does not mean destroy as if it doesn't exist. Destroy. He destroyed him that had the power of death. In essence now, he made him inoperative. That the thing there, when he says destroyed him that had the power of death, it means he made him inoperative in our lives. For those who have received him, right? But he says it is through his death. So now I want to show you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and took away our sins, he now made Satan inoperative in our lives. You see, that's what I've been trying to say, show you since. How did Satan lose his power in your life? Because the sin nature has been destroyed. The sin inside of you has been dealt with. The thing that caused problem between you and God has been taken away. So I could not say this. The thoughts are still too rich. I could not say this, that you are now alive to God. So I want to show you my thoughts. You are now alive to God. Now he made you alive to God. Being alive to God, he made you dead to sin. And when you're now dead to sin, the guy who has the power of death, who comes through sin to touch you, is now inoperative. So the core is the first thing. I'm sorry, I know it's strange. I'm apologizing because there has been a damaged work in the church. It's really, I mean, I'm saying the church, I'm not talking about, I mean, it's just bad. I know what I'm telling you. The first thing, when you come, in fact, when you got saved, how did many of you get saved? That is another problem. Real. When you were coming to Jesus Christ, when you turned to Jesus Christ, truthfully, what was in your mind? What was the message? The message most likely was, let me tell you, in Jesus Christ, you can start flying first class. In Jesus Christ, you can buy that house. So you say, let me turn to Jesus Christ for that. There was no loathing of self. Many times, the message was not, turn away. You have to come to Jesus Christ, and so that he turns you away, gives you the grace and power to leave that nature, that thing that is inside of you that causes you to step out of the place and to do things that you really don't even want to do. That's not the conversation. The conversation is somewhat on this side. It's just about what I would get when I give my life to Christ. So, people gave their life to Christ, I would say, under faulty assumptions. The contract itself had a problem. So, the truth, there's no appreciation for Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's why there's no appreciation for Jesus Christ. You can't really worship in adoration and say that the only reason why I can do all this now is because of Jesus Christ. The thought is, what has Jesus Christ even done for me? He has not done anything for my family. Me and my family, we are still in a tight corner. I'll keep apologizing because it's a thought. I'm apologizing not because of what I am saying, but because of where the church body of Christ is. The only way you can see the things that he has done for you and appreciate and receive it, and your family's life and your family status begins to change, is to appreciate what he has actually done, the work that he came to do in bringing you back to God. That's the problem. So we can't, we can't even see the power, because we can't appreciate what he has actually done. And we say that we start from the point where he has really not done anything. So the circle continues. If he has not done anything and you not see that he has dealt with the issue between you and God, that separated you and God, come on. You say he has not done anything. If you have not done anything, then you cannot see anything in your life. But when you start there and you see that you are alive to God, you are now in vital union with God. Vital union with God. Then guess what happens? You can now begin to walk in victory and stand that. Then you cannot enjoy this. And then the circle just continues in your life. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
All right. Through death, he died, and he destroyed him that had the power of death. Because in his death, guess what he did? He took away our sins. Once he did that, he made Satan inoperative. So let me start off with from Isaiah 53. Let me do Isaiah 53, then I'll come back down this way. Or do we do Isaiah 53? Okay, let's just go there. So we'll continue doing this one. I want to say that the true nature of a believer and what you must understand is that you are, from the title, is that you are dead to sin and alive to God. You are not just alive to God, you are dead to sin. Can you go to Acts chapter number 3? First of all, do Acts 3 first of all. We'll come here. I want to show you that turning. That turning was also beautiful. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to what? To bless you. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You see now, he sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so we said the blessing of God for your life is that he has turned you away from your iniquities. So yeah, you know when he says when we read in Matthew where it says he came to save his people from their sins. You see that when he says he came to turn away every one of you from his iniquities. That thing inside of you. So you are blessed. You are blessed. Why? I think that's what I'm trying to help you see. You are blessed. That is the foundation of your blessings. You are now alive to God. And he has turned you away from your iniquities. You are now dead to sin. We must see that we are dead to sin, but we are alive to God. Are you here? We cannot be alive to God and not be dead to sin. So now, when the thing inside of you, that nature is still rearing its head and trying to manifest itself through your members, you must remember and say, I am what? Dead to sin. In my conversation for the past few weeks, I've been telling you that we can also destroy sin in our bodies. And that it is possible. Come on. And today, by God's help, and the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to show you how you can stand and say, I am dead to sin. And so when that nature tries to come out, you say, no, I am crucified with Christ. That nature, that sin nature, was crucified also. Is dead. So you cannot now come again. In essence, what I try to show you is that again, I'm giving this example before we read. How can a person marry a woman marry another husband unless first of all the other husband is dead? So we can say alive to God, right? I want us to also say dead to sin. Do you understand that? Yes, that's what I just want. I want to say that it is when you say you are alive to God, because that's my conversation. We say we are alive to God, but Father, I thank you because I'm going to keep trying every day not to sin. What did you say? No, you are dead to sin. That's false conversation. That's false conversation. You are dead to sin. It's not saying that now, I'm not saying that you should go and be not saying in the name of Jesus. No, you're not even trying. You are dead to sin. When it comes up against you somehow and that there's that walking there, that thing there, you have to just say no. No, it's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because I'm dead to sin. If you take the faith teaching, you're going to stand, I'm talking about faith now. You know that's about faith. If you take the faith teaching that says that your temperature begins to rise and you begin to feel that you are not feeling fine, it's a lie. Right? It's just coming into your body. You resist it and say, Jesus Christ took my sickness on his body and by his stripes, what? Yeah, we are what? Healed. The same thing I want to do with sin. When the urge is there, you say, Jesus Christ took my sins on the cross and I am dead to sin. So, This is a lie. I don't have the sin nature was dealt with by Jesus Christ, not by you. Technically, that should be enough. But alas, we have to work hard. Amen. He came for the sin nature. And when he died on the cross, he took the sin nature and nailed it on the cross. That's what went on. In dealing with the sin nature, he dealt with sickness, all the consequence of sin. Come on. Which is death. Sickness, disease, poverty, everything. Are you here? And so the sin nature is gone. Dealt with. And you don't deal with the sin nature. This is the context of my conversation again. You don't deal with the sin nature. Sin that tries to manifest through your body by trying by yourself. By yourself, sin will flood you every day. Every time. Anytime. You have to still go to the cross and say that Jesus Christ dead, if it is sin that he dealt with. That's what I'm just trying to say. Sincerely, 4 hours I've been doing this thing. And the way you're thinking at me, you're like, see, Pastor, you don't know what they're talking about. That's the problem. That's why I'm sitting. You're like, you don't know what you're talking about. See, he's there. I said, Jesus Christ died. You say he died for sickness. I said, no, he died for sin. When he died and destroyed sin and took away the sin nature, Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, he took it away. He destroyed sin. The sin nature left entirely. Just like the way he took sickness and disease and poverty. And those things are gone. Or whatever the things are, negative things are. Right? Depression, disease, all manner of things. Took everything away. They are gone. And we can stand in faith against those things. When it comes to sin, we don't use faith. We try to... The judge shall live by faith. But no, in this faith, it's not faith. You have to stand as a Christian. As you are growing in Christ, you have to now be strong and say, I will stop this thing. Don't try to stop this thing. The thing cannot even, you can't even do the thing. You are dead to sin. Huh? In turning you away from your sins, from your iniquities, somebody came to ask me, we keep doing that, talking for last week, what is the difference between iniquity and transgression and sin and all that kind of stuff? Sincerely, what's the point? Someone said, don't you know? My first thought is not as if I didn't know, but my first thought was, what's the reason? What's the problem? And no, I just want to know. I said, for crying out loud, let's enjoy this thing. Right? Everything is there. He dealt with all of them. Huh? In fact, the reason why he dealt with all of them, I'll show you in Isaiah 53. No, you see, sorry. In turning, I'm enjoying myself. Don't mind me. Today, just enjoy looking at me. I'm hearing what I'm saying. Because I'm tired. I mean, I'm telling you something very interesting and easy. You say, in the name of Jesus, this temperature causes to say that I'm not sick. I refuse to be sick. The same, use faith too, to say, in the name of Jesus, I don't do this. I can't do this. Someone say, Pastor, sometimes I just, masturbation just comes, it just comes. Don't try to say, I'm dealing with Christian victory here. Sometimes we deal as though those things are not there. It is there. I do counseling. I know what I'm talking. Not speaking to. I'm trying to help you now. Everybody's looking at me as if I'm talking nonsense. And people are angry with me. Yes, they're angry with me online. I've not said anything. I've never said anything, but I didn't say that fighting with faith. I didn't say fighting with yourself. I said fighting with faith. Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ died too. You said Jesus Christ died for everything. But when he gets to sin, he forgot to die. Funnily, that's what he even died for self. That's what I'm saying. What's power inside? If you make me best now, just pack my Jesus and get out of this place. Oh God. I just do that to ensure that you are all here. Alright. Pastor, you have to bring the people together. Alright. So he turns you away from your sins, and now you are dead to it. Use faith to do the same thing. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't try to deal with that sin. Don't try to, you know, sometimes for some different things in your body, different things, whatever it is, don't try. Just use faith to deal with it. Right? Have I been saying that? Have I been saying clearly that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all your sins? Have I been saying that? Have I been saying that sin is no longer a problem between you and God? Have I been saying, this is a test too. Have I been saying that you should continue sinning, that God don't have any problem now, just continue sinning, it's okay? Have I been saying that you should try now? Try not to sin. You want to try. But sin is a bad thing. You want to die? Sin is a bad thing. Have I been saying that?
No, sir.
If I ask you, what have I been saying? Will you be able to answer that one? Alright. I've said that when Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, he forgave us of all our sins. In that forgiveness also, there is also the purging. He purged it. He removed it. Unlike the blood of bulls and heifers, they were not purging the sins. They were actually covering them for 1 year. Then every year, the high priest will have to go again. I'm tired. I'm right now. You want to say, Pastor, are you angry? To something degree, yes, I am. I'm truthful to you. I won't lie. Church is upside down. Nobody gets anything anymore. Why did he not come to that? Would have continued bulls. Bulls will cover it. He said, I'm not covering it anymore. What I will do, I will take it, I will kill it. Simple. How hard is that to say? What have I done wrong? How will somebody be angry with me? Then what I've said is wrong. Really? In the old covenant, they were not covered. So they will still have the nature there, and it will still be alive. And he knew it to still be alive. That they couldn't help themselves. That it was just covered. He couldn't deal with them. He couldn't infill them with his presence and power. They were not alive to God. The sins were just covered, so they were not going to manage. It's like devil is there, and they were there, and they would cover it so that he could at least help them intervene in their matter and come out. You are not my children. They couldn't say Father. It was God. So they would cover it. He would help them. He would do that. He said, this covering thing will not work. We can't keep covering this thing year in, year out. And the thing will be inside there, and they will still be still eating them up there. Sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, they will not even run for me with their own two legs. That is, I'm even not trying to help them, but because of the sin nature there, they've done something off against me, and they are afraid of me, they will be running for me. Okay, I know what to do. I will send my son. My son's blood will not cover their sins. What will he do? It will tear it and take it away. Then, for one time, he will turn them away from their sins. They will be alive to me. They will be interested in coming to me. You get what I'm saying? They will be interested. It will be easier for them to come to me than to run away from me. Even when they have done something bad, though, because they are alive to me and they are dead to sin. So there will be more, you know, when you say they are alive, when we say we are alive to God, it means that we are more sensitive, our neurons, our nerves are alive more to this side, but to this side, they are dead. That's what I'm trying to say. So God first raised him for his son, he raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. In turning away every one of you, consistent, remember, his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Consistent theology throughout the Bible, consistent. Sin, you see sin everywhere. He dealt with it, and now we are alive to God. It's easier to say, thank you, Jesus. It's easier to say, Jesus, I love you. It's easier to say, Jesus, forgive me, I just didn't try here. Father, I just rest of you. It's easier. But to sin, you even have to actually try, because you are actually a believer or the true nature. You are dead to sin. That's why it averts you. You're not happy. But now, the thought has been, let's not talk about it, just deal with it. Let me tell you, sin is bad. And bad. Sin is bad. Everybody knows that part. How do I deal with it? Know that you are dead to it. Start from there. Isaiah 53. Let me start to do. Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Right? Next verse. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When you get to church, when you get people to really sit down and come to you, you know, and come to you and talk, you find out that there's a lot of things going on in the hearts of, in the minds, the lives of believers, and they can't bring it up, and they are trying to deal with it, and they don't know how to deal with it. That is why I'm doing this work. I've spoken to preachers every year. When you see, maybe you hear of a scandal somewhere, it is because of this issue. Nobody talked about it, nobody dealt with it, and the man was there, speaking in tongues and reading the scriptures, but he was still struggling to deal with that. By himself, not thinking that Jesus Christ has done something about it. And so, he tries by himself, and then that lack of victory and power in the church. And then people are just there. So I will do it too. I'll continue. You will get it right. And more people will get it right. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Next verse. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who was doing the smiting now and all that? It was God who that was doing that. And afflicted. Next verse. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Have you believed? Did that belief for anybody? Oga, did it belief for you? The two is inside there. Because people try. Let me tell you, one of the things, I am deep inside theology. I don't use it. I can study a word in the Greek and not come and give you the Greek word. It is pointless. I do that. I am deep inside theology. I don't use it. But it's not out of lack. It's just the problem is that people don't, there's no necessary. There are truths that are truths. And they are simple. When we read the Bible in English and believe in faith and receive it, we will get some miracles. The two words theology scatters everything. That's not the truth. Transgression and iniquity is inside there. He dealt with all of them. All of them. Yes. Transgression is the willful breaking of the law. Iniquity is the nature that causes you to break the law. So the two of them were dealt with. Yes. That's the difference. Iniquity is inside. It's a body. It's the thing that causes the transgression in the first place. The transgression is the missing of the transgression. To transgress means to miss the mark. Iniquity, it means now that there's a sin inside of you that causes you to miss the mark. Then the two of them leads to one thing, sin. That's why he said, we take away, he comes to them. Somebody now say iniquity, there's really iniquity and transgression. Yeah. Iniquity is the sins of your fathers. What he meant by the sins of your father, as brilliant as the man of God is, what he meant by the sins of the father is nature, sin nature. It comes from, it's not the, somebody said, so, what have we seen on the church? Father, help us. He said, your father has buried people. If your four great-great-grandfather buried human sacrifice and tied to blood, you know the father he's talking about, great-great-grandfather. The father me I'm talking about is Adam. The father that Bible knows is Adam. He said, the pastor said it. He said, even if you are saved, you are born again, iniquity is still there. The sin inside, that one, iniquity runs by blood. I'm not joking. I'm telling you real. So before you ask me the question, we have finished the matter. Since years ago. So no, we say we know. I can't come to church and begin with it. He said iniquity is the blood. So that is why there's a blood, any blood covenant your parents did, even in the fourth, fifth generation you are not aware of, will still come up to you because that's iniquity. And Jesus Christ came to deal with our sin. I said blood of God. I was sitting down there. No, I was inside the church. I was not hearing from online. I was sitting down there. I thought this was a friend. I say, Isaiah 53. The two of them are inside. Yeah, I just gave it to you now. He was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for. So iniquity is in your blood, Abby. Was Jesus Christ bruised for it? Does he cover it? Are you in Christ Jesus? You are a new creation. Finish.
And it became a theory that was propagated by a lot of churches, even big churches. They were saying now that the problems you see in your life is because it's a generational something, and that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and that iniquity is deeper than blood. He missed it there. Because nobody just opened Isaiah 53. If we were in a free place, and they say we should raise our hand, like I'm teaching now, please, if you are free, raise your hand. You will know the depth of scripture that I am inside. Anytime, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I tell my pastors, follow me. If you say, bring it to me and tell me stuff. That's what I'm saying. Would have just come and say, I wonder what he would have said concerning Isaiah 53:5. That's it. Iniquity is inside. Transgression is inside. I will go further to show you something as we go further. Can we go further now? I've solved your problem. Alright. He was bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was what? Upon him. You see, now after dealing with the sin part, he said, the chastisement for our peace. Peace with who? Satan or God? God. Was upon him. Now, by his stripes, we are what? Healed. What came out first? What left the way first? Sin. What came next to us? Peace. Now, when there is peace, what now happens? There is healing. It's a simple breakdown process. It's not really hard. We are here. Next verse. We'll just read on. We'll be also, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You see that now. So we have turned everyone to his own way. There's not really his own way. That is self. But if you're on your own, Satan will have power over you. That's why I say his own way. But truthfully, it's where we turn to. Satan took advantage of it and began to lead us. Right? Next verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to his slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That is Jesus now. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression. Even Bible free. I don't know why we are not free. He just keeps saying transgression, this thing. Because, let me help you. Let me just help you. The sin nature, iniquity, if you say that, he dealt with it. Transgression, the things you are doing today, the things you will do next week, he also dealt with it. Right? In taking away the sin nature, he also dealt with transgression. Iniquity and transgression dealt with. For the transgression of my people, he was what? Stricken. Next verse. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. So, with rich in his death. So you see that the iniquity, transgression, those were the things that were the problem. You know, if you look again, like I said carefully, you don't find Satan. You look at where you see Satan. Look at it again. I'm not making these things up. We are reading Bible. You don't find Satan. He doesn't come in. He doesn't come in because the real thing, the real obstacle, the reason why he could not be defeated was because of transgression and sin, which Jesus Christ came to deal with. Now, with that, you will say in the name of Jesus. Because now you have peace with God. You are alive to God. Because you are now alive to God, you are connected divinely to God. You are a son of God now. And the things that separated you from God dealt with. So you cannot say in the name of Jesus, this, whatever it is, it says, I'm not making progress. He said, the three people now lock my star. They have not yet been, for example, they are not crazy. They won't do it. They know. They can try. But they won't try. Because there are people that say, how does that not happen? What connection do I have with you? There's no connection. There's no connection. So you say, in the name of Jesus. You say, no. Let me tell you. I want to know who did it. I don't really care. In the name of Jesus. I take that place there. I'm alive to God. My power source is drawn from God. And I do this and I'm able to walk away. Because I understand this thing from the foundation. Do you see that now? That's where that one comes in. That understanding is basic, is simple. You can deal with those things. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, do you see yet? He had done no violence, no deceit in his mouth, nothing wrong with him. He was taken for peace, there was no judgment, nothing. Yet, that's why I say English is enough. Yet means that after all this, yet I came early to school and yet I was still punished. It means that there's a contradiction there, right? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. If you read the previous verse, no deceit in his mouth, he has done no violence, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make what? His soul and what? An offering for sin. You see now, he did not say transgression or iniquity. An offering for sin. What will now happen? He shall see his seed. He shall what? Prolong his days. Days that we thought were cut short just now. They're not cut short anymore. They are prolonged well in his what? In his seed. And the pleasure of the Lord shall what? Prosper in his hand. After he has made his soul and what? An offering for sin. Are you still here? He didn't make his soul an offering for health. Poverty. And you know, see, I don't mention all those things there. You don't mention all those things there. All those things are the after effects of sin. So when he made his soul an offering for sin, he destroyed the after effect also. That's why it's not dealing with Satan. In that he dealt with Satan in that way, in the sense of he cut his ability to siphon funds from your account. Right? When the government now say that they should not pay any money to individual, pay it straight to government account. Alas, that is. Corruption can no longer take place. When they come to your office, they submit the paper, you look at the amount, and you pay the government account straight. No negotiation with this individual. That cut it out. So it means he destroyed the ability to do anything. So what was the problem? Was it the people or was it the sin that was there? It was the structure that was bad. So when he fixed the structure, those ones became powerless. I'm a businessman in Nigeria. I know what I'm talking about. When they come to your office, I mean, you're amazed. I see, okay, let's do this. He sort us out. When the room is there, but when there's no room like that, they can't do it. They just come. I mean, we had a government just some time ago that they couldn't do it. They just come and submit this thing. You look at it, there's nothing they can do. The man is standing for you, nothing they can do. Because the money is not even, you cannot say, you pay, we'll give you receipt. They're not issuing any receipt to you. You pay to the account, carry your teller and go and submit. So you can't do anything. When you design a structure like that. But if you now can design a structure where the man has power, he says, see, talk to me. Let's do this thing. Where the way you say it, you are just being rude to us. You are being rude. You say, Oga no be so. Yeah? Because the yam and the knife is in his hand. But when they remove yam and knife from his hand, he's powerless. That is how the devil matter is. So Jesus Christ came and dealt with that thing there that separated you from God. So everything now, your relationship is directly with God. No sin covered. He destroyed it. Right. Next verse. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be what? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant what? Justify many. For he shall bear. He just keeps saying that. He's not even saying Satan. He just keeps saying that. Are you here? Shall bear their iniquities. So they are now alive to God. He dealt with sin. In dealing with our sins, he did not only provide for us, listen to me, the forgiveness of sins, the pardon for the sins, but he also provides for us the power to sin no more. Because if he took away our sins, which sin are you now sinning? Simple. You don't have any business sinning again. No real business. No business sinning again. Took away your sins. Finish. Dealt with it. He did not die for our sins and then leave us to go by ourselves to deal with the thing we no longer like. Remember, we no longer like it. We have lost taste for it. Right? Okay. I've not done that. So let me go to, you are just answering me yes, sir, so that you are polite. Romans chapter number 6. Those are the things I want you to do. But before you deal with Romans chapter number 6, can you show me Romans chapter number 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You are free from that law entirely. So if I'm free from that law, why is that law finding its place in me? are free from it. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So we are free. You see, that alive to God, dead to sin. Free from this side entirely. Alive to this side. If this side tries to come, whether by any means, sin, sickness, poverty, death, we should be able to say, we don't have any real business with you again. It will try to raise its ugly head. He will always try to come up. He will always try. That part will always be with you. As far as you are in this flesh. This flesh. There is going to be a glorified body. Right? You know, we're not going to heaven with this body. It will be like this one, but it will be glorified. Different from this one entirely. But as far as we are still in this one, he has the means to try. Come on. He will try. Then you should be able to say no. Every time. By what power? By the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Next verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, what did he do? Condemned sin in the flesh. So sin in your flesh has actually been condemned. But guess what you'll still be doing? I'm here, you say it's a lie. You will not say it's a lie because you want to be strong and say, today I put my feet down. I go to sin. You will say it has been condemned by Jesus Christ. Use Jesus for everything, including your sins. It's not me to be canceling sexual addiction here, canceling pornography here, canceling this one here, all of them in secret. Let me tell you how to deal with it. Somebody say, me, I've never told you my own. Thank you. But I'm telling you now, it's inside. Deal with it. Are you here? Deal with it. Don't deal with it by trying. Deal with it by Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ do everything for you, including the sin matter. Use Jesus too. Don't say, when I sin, it'll be paining Jesus. It's not paining him. He wants to deal with it for you. You see, that's the problem. When they come to the sin matter, they want to deal with it by themselves and leave Jesus away. I'm saying that is what his specialty is. I'll do it again. When it comes to sin, we want to hide and deal with it. We don't want to tell him about it. We don't want to bring it up in our confessions. Why? Jesus doesn't want to hear anything like that. So I will deal with it by myself. When I finish, I will now come to Jesus and say, Jesus, this week I tried. Really? That's why you won't come out. What you should do is carry it to Jesus. To say, Jesus, when you die, it's not this thing that is doing that now. You died and took it away. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. I have the victory over this sin. Then you will win. Don't hide it away from Jesus and try to deal with it. Because believers would deal with Satan. They'll drag Satan to Jesus. And they will say in the name of Jesus, Satan, and they will drive it. They will drive poverty and they will wake up and say that I can't be poor. I refuse to be poor. No problem. They will drag everything. But if you just say sin, church will be quiet. Very quiet. They will say, I'm working on it. Working on what? No. Drag sin too. That sin, because it's dead. The way poverty, sickness, Satan has been destroyed. That's the way sin too has been destroyed. It has been condemned in the flesh. You saw when it says it destroys Satan just now. Now, why do we say it condemns sin in the flesh? Nobody is shouting for that one now. I've taught destroy Satan. I've taught that Hebrews chapter 17 years of ministry. You must have taught it. Hey, your boss, see power in church. This has been destroyed. This is rendered inoperative. Sin has been condemned in the flesh. Because they don't believe. Because it's there. I say it's there. Say Jesus Christ, and he will wipe it away. Because it was Jesus that destroyed Satan. It's the same Jesus that condemned sin. But we say Jesus came and destroyed Satan. We forgot to tell you that Jesus came and destroyed sin too. The same Jesus. He didn't leave sin for you to handle. That's the one thing. The same time. In fact, it was sin that he was dealing with. Are you still here? Yes, now go to Romans chapter number 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His response to this is very important. It's very important. Right? Sin is there. Paul lets us know by this that sin is still there. That's why he says, shall we continue in sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul is saying now that the sin nature, that you know that Isaiah 53 made his soul an offering for sin. But it will still be there. It will now want to try to be active in your body. Right? So do we not just continue and say, there's grace? Right? Do we just do that? Is that what the Christian life is about? He has freed us to continue sinning and using grace. Really? Because that's what it's like in the church today when we talk about grace. Somebody said, we don't talk, they have taught grace. I know grace. And we're talking about grace right now. It's the grace he's talking about. The way I say, so should we now continue? Are we going to continue? No, at all. We should use grace. Use grace. So he says, so if we continue, we now say, so that grace may abound. He says, no. We now have the grace, right, that covered our sin, past, present, and future. So should we continue? That's the critical question for a believer. You see that what he's saying now? Okay, I come to teach you grace. I say grace, the grace of God, right, has opened up a door for you. Everything you ever do is not even concerning God. God is not angry with you. He can never be angry with you. You are now a son of God. What arises in the heart is, so should I continue in sin? The person who taught us that, at least Paul, he will answer it himself. And he will tell us why. He will not tell us, the real key is to tell us why and how we should not bother continuing in sin. Not to try now that you have been forgiven. Now your slate is clean. Try now to ensure you keep it clean. No, sir. Paul didn't do it like that. Next verse. Paul says, God forbid. His reason for that. This is the beautiful part. This is the thing. His reason for that is, how shall we? That are what? Dead to sin means that we are not just forgiven. Oh, it gets me. This is rich. I want to jump and shout. But we're not forgiven, though. We're not cleansed, though. We're actually also what? Dead to sin. Paul's argument here is very critical, very important, that every believer knows this. Don't mind me, I'm excited. His argument is not, we continue in sin because we have been forgiven. He didn't say we have been forgiven. He didn't say we have been forgiven. Because he has forgiven you, you should not sin. No! He has passed forgiveness since. We know that part. They taught us belefu. We are forgiving you everything you will do. If you like tomorrow, finish, go to do the baddest thing. You have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. His blood took care of it. So I agree. So you see now, I have said it, I agree. But look at Paul's argument here. His argument here says, do we now actually continue in that sin and say because we have been forgiven? Paul says, no, he establishes that, what I've been trying to establish, that we have not only received pardon for sin, we have also received power over sin. Yes, he says that we are actually dead to sin. This is his argument. His argument is not don't try. He said you are dead to it. How shall we? His thought is, how shall we, who are dead to sin? You know what it means to be dead to sin? It means that we are irresponsive. When sin calls you, you know the answer because you are dead to it. That is his argument. How can we live in this any longer? Then I have my few more minutes. I want to try to go. We're going to go verse by verse and see, because he continues this discussion. Next verse. Know ye not? That is what I want to tell you now. That you are dead to sin. How shall you who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that so many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into that his death? You know that when we say Jesus Christ died. Next verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into what? Into death. Why? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Death and what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's bringing it to us now. Next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, which we all agree, we shall be also in the likeness of what? His resurrection. Right? No, never finish. Come on, next verse. Knowing this, now we know this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? You see now? You see sin again? You can't really run away from sin. Our old man is what? Crucified with him. Why did he crucify anything? The only reason he did that thing, that the body of sin, that is the nature of sin, may be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not what? We should not sell sin. It's no longer there. Brothers and sisters, you only sin if you allow your flesh just go. That's not true. It's not really there. It's supposed to be there. It says that. Right? Knowing this, that our old man, the body of sin, is crucified with him. Why? He did the crucifixion process, dying on the cross. So you see, you can talk about many things in that death. It's a very powerful death. But one thing we don't talk about, which is why I'm trying to talk about, is that he destroyed sin. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. It's not possible anymore. So the body of sin was destroyed. We are dead to sin. He's trying to show us how we die to sin. Saying that it's not what we do, not what we confess. We can only confess that I have power over sin because Jesus Christ died on the cross and destroyed sin. Are you still here? And we're not even done. We're still in the middle of something, but you guys are all looking at me like this now. Are we together? Next verse. Just a few minutes. For he that is dead, is what? Did you die with Christ?
Yes, sir.
No, let's not answer the question because now that's it. Did you die with Christ?
Yes, sir.
Are you free from sin?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's the conclusion. Right? Next verse. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right? Next verse. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Next verse. For in that he died, you see now again, sin, no, Satan is not there. He died unto sin, how many times?
Once.
But when they were doing bulls and lambs and sheep and rams, guess what? They were doing it several times. But now, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he what? He liveth now unto God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Don't say he's not talking about you yet, but he will put you inside. Next verse. Likewise, ye also. You see that he put you inside. He was not talking about you since. All that sin, he died to sin. He died to sin. Jesus died to sin. He did another sin. But now, you too, he said you enter inside. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin. But what? Alive unto God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Lord.
See that? He says, likewise you also. So I want you to be likewise in now. Likewise yourself. You are dead to sin and you are alive to God. He said, no, you're not dead to sin. How are you dead to sin? Sin is still dead. Not like not the way temperature is still running. You say you are aware. You sabi that one, Abi? Come on. You don't know how to face that one out. You say it's a lie. This sickness is gone. Sickness cannot be there. You are feeling the thing and say it's a lie. You stand in the faith and you reject it. The same thing, it was because of Jesus Christ, Abi. The same thing, sin is want to raise his head. You want to get there. You say, no, I am dead to sin because of Jesus Christ. Use that same faith. You are supposed to live above sin by what? By faith. Because you are reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin according to Jesus Christ. Go to the previous verse. Previous verse, please. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Next verse. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin, but what? Alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you reckon yourself. You reckon yourself. Next verse. Let not sin. Therefore, once you've reckoned yourself, that time when Jesus Christ was on the cross dying, he died, and his sin died with it. Right? And you reckon that one. Then you will let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that they should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, let not sin, therefore. Don't allow it. You say, wait, can I do this? I'm not against anybody. God knows my heart. I want to help you. Don't allow it, Abi. You don't want to allow poverty, Abi. I refuse to be poor, right? I refuse to sin. I won't allow it come. Will you allow poverty come? Do you want small poverty? Small sickness. I refuse to be sick, right? I want believers to open their mouth and say, I refuse to sin. That's what I'm trying to say. Have I said anything wrong? I refuse to sin. I won't sin. I refuse to sin. Why would you? Okay, let's go. Now I'm going to do it. Why do you refuse to be poor? Why would you not be poor? Because Jesus Christ was poor for me. He became poor that we might become. Okay. He bore our sickness. By his stripes, we are what? Healed. He's the one that is striped, We are the one that is, He's the one that is poor. We are the one that is rich now. Okay. He's the one that died for sin. Guess what? We are the one that is righteous now. We should take it to and use it to. That's what I'm saying. Right? Use it to. They are wondering why some of you are clapping. They are thinking you are crazy. It's okay. Not like this guy is not. Sin is there. And if that's what you want to do, but I mean, I'm sure I've made it clear. No. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. It's possible. Paul says it's possible. And the only reason why it's possible is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. The only reason why health is possible is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. The only reason why wealth is possible, you can make progress in your life, is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. The only reason why to live a righteous life is possible and live above sin is possible is because Jesus Christ also died on the cross. Next verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's just you now. It's you. And you're not doing it by your power. You are doing it by the power of Christ that is in you. You are doing it by the power of the cross. I started off and took a long route to come to Romans chapter 6. So I will do a part 2. And my part 2, the reason why I'm doing part 2 so that you get it right, is we'll come and do Romans 6 again. I'll do it again. That's why I'll start from next week. I won't do introduction. I'll start from Romans 6. It's clear enough in Romans 6 that we are dead to sin and alive to God because of the body of Jesus Christ. Are you still here? That's the true nature of a believer. He's not trying to free himself from sin. He died and solved all the problem, but one problem he could not solve was sin, because pastor is still in my body. I'm telling you, yes. Then like, we not say one problem that Jesus Christ did not solve is that sickness is still in my body. He didn't solve it. But you fight against it and you refuse it because of Jesus Christ. You will do the same thing. You will fight against it. You will refuse sin because of Jesus Christ. And you start to experience victory. Come on. I said you start to experience victory. Real victory. And you begin to, true joy begins to bubble up in your heart. Boy, I stood my ground right now. And this thing just died. I went to do this. I said, wow, this anger, this bitterness, this thing was raging inside of me. But Jesus Christ died and took away my sins. He took away that nature inside of me. And it no longer has any hold over me anymore. I'm dead to sin. You don't need to live in sin. I'm not talking about the fact that one sins and does something wrong. There's sin there. But guess what? You know how you instead of not saying, let's just continue, because it's obvious it's there. Not that somebody says sickness is there, so let's just be sick, let's just die. No, the fact that it's there does not mean you resist it, you fight against it. I want believers to get angry with their sins, angry with sin. We hate sin, hate it. I don't want to. I resist it. Just the way you resist sickness, poverty. I hate poverty. I hate sickness. If you see sickness and you will hate it, right? Hate the sin too and hate it. That's what I'm trying to wake you up to. Sometimes we just not say, because it's there. I thank God I'm a Christian. I thank God that Jesus Christ died for me. I'll be living in it. People are living in sin. I mean, there was a time I comforted a young man in our church, committed, someone who has top as leader. I mean, just when someone is staying, living with him, I'm like, you can't, what is this one? If you are marrying man, if you're not married, you can't live there. It doesn't work. Then you are coming to church, your whole life has scattered and changed. This was not you before. I had two options. Either I allow him to stay there in that condition, or say no to this thing. I mean, and this is filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about a deacon in my own church, me. So I'm not talking about somebody I know random in this church. I mean, you're a deacon here. You can't leave that. So the idea is we should not say, okay, but you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are speaking in tongues. Okay. Just be trying, eh? Be trying. Say you pay your tithes. Just continue. Let's be doing. No. I said, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Stand against it. He was not even willing to stand against it, to say, no, okay, I won't. Okay, what can we do so that I don't live in sin? That's what I'm talking about. You don't want to live there. It's not you sin tomorrow, you are running away from church. And somebody does something off and running away from church. Somebody goes to a club, sleeps with one lady in nightclub, and then he's running away from church. For the next 2-3 weeks, you won't see him in church. He's trying to cleanse himself first. He doesn't know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He doesn't know to stand against that, and then he does that the first time, the second time. I'm giving context to my teaching because I'm very wondering. He does the second time, and then he now says, "Okay, since I'm still filled with the Holy Ghost, since I've still come to church, since I'm still a leader, since I'm still a worker, he now lives in this." Guess what? Devil will have a field day. Before you know anything, he begins to erode his faith. Before you know anything, the deceitfulness of sin. No one sin deceives you, that you can continue to play with it and nothing will happen. After 5 years, 6 years, he won't even know himself again. After one great evangelist comes to town to preach, he will give his life to Christ again. Do you get what I'm saying? It deceives you to say, continue. Are we not eating together? Has anything happened? Are you not still going to church? Are you not still praying? Try it, you see, Holy Ghost is still dead, then you do that. Come on. It's deceitful and it can destroy your faith long run. It begins to corrode the faith. It begins to make the death of Jesus Christ as if it's nothing. You will know. Later you see, then you need to allow some things. You allow some death into your life because you feel that you deserve it. This is happening to me because I deserve it. I know that I am not so. So they begin to allow it. Begin to come in. There's some death. Small death you allow it. Small sickness you say is because of. I know why. God is helping me. He will allow it. You allow it. Devil will begin to say. Then let after you just say, Jesus, wait. I'm trying to deal with all these things. You will find a brother in church. You won't see him again. And you wonder, why is this person like this? It's because he continued to allow it to eat at him gradually and to go. So we are dead to sin. My conversation is this. Let us rise up and begin to hate the sin and say, no, I'm not going in this direction anymore. And they ask you why. You say, because of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. And so when you rise up, say, I refuse to sin. I refuse to walk in sin. I refuse my members to be instruments of unrighteousness. Why? Because you will try today, Tuesday. No, because Jesus Christ died. He took it and nailed it on the cross. He died and nailed those things away. So it can come, but it will not. It cannot. It doesn't have any hold over me. It doesn't have any hold over me. So you're dealing with maybe secret alcoholism, smoking secretly, sexual sins secretly, whatever form it is, impurity, pornography secretly. You're dealing with all those things and then they are there in you as a Christian. And I know it's not conventional for a pastor to attack these things because we just want to say, you are in Christ, it's not there, and we know it's there. Are dealing with those things. And you say, am I still a Christian? You are 100% Christian. You just need to know that you are dead indeed to sin and that you are alive to God. And that you should not try to fight it. Just stop today and say, I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. I reckon myself, when Jesus Christ died, do the mass. To reckon means to think, to analyze, to bring it out. And say, I reckon myself indeed dead to sin and then alive to God. You'll get victory that way. It may not all just come be instantaneous victory. And for really, if you talk to God, there are cases, many cases. Somebody says, I used to smoke. And they said, by myself, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. He kneels before God and says, Father, take this thing away from me. I know that you have the power. I know that you have done this thing in my life. He says, smoke. Inhaling smoke became, I see, she has somebody that never smoked before in her life. There's that victory of the cross. You can deal with that in your life. Someone says it's an addiction, and you are dealing with addiction, you are saying it has been there before you got saved, and after you got saved, it is still there. Use the cross to deal with it. Come to God and say, Father, I don't want that anymore. I'm dead to sin. This thing has gone. Whatever it is, I know I just called all manner of cases, but whatever it is, wherever you are, and that thing is still there inside of you, you can come and say, I am dead indeed to sin. And you recognize and say, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took the body of sin and he destroyed the body of sin. And now I'm alive to God. I rose up again with him, I'm alive to God. And the body of sin died and remained there inside the grave. But when Jesus Christ rose up again from the dead, there was no sin anymore. He died to sin how many times? Once. So he dealt with it, and so I'm free. And then from there, you stand that ground. Once you stand that ground and that thing begins to come, that thing begins to be saying, in the name of Jesus, I am dead to sin. I resist you. I refuse this thing. Don't say it is a part of me. It's not a part of you. You are a child of God. It's not a part of you. It didn't remain with you. It's not there. He dealt with it. And he said, I resist it. I refuse to sin. I refuse to sin. My members are instruments to God unto righteousness. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and took away my sin. He destroyed the body of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And then you stand your ground. And you go like that. And then suddenly you find that the urge dies. What a victory in Jesus Christ. That's a victory in Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's a victory. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Somebody needs to testify. I was one way before he met me, and now he met me, I'm now another way. My life has changed. I don't know all the Greek and Hebrew, but I know that Jesus in my life changed my life. He changed my life. He totally took away sin, sickness, disease. Everything, sin and death. So, keep saying sickness and disease. Every other thing. So, ask God. I'll get to the place where I'll show you a believer in Christ. His mind has changed. He's more intelligent now. Yes, you are more intelligent. Truth. You are not the same. Not at all. Your mind can do far more than an ordinary man's mind without that. Don't have Holy Ghost. You have Holy Ghost. You have been empowered with your mind. You will think, create things, beautiful things will come out of your life. I'm telling you. We don't take the death of Jesus Christ to just resist. Somebody says the boy is dull. Once that boy gives his heart to Jesus Christ, dull, it cannot be dull. I'm not talking about confession. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took away that old man, everything. That one said death. Dullness is even a result of death. This boy is just dull. He don't know anything now. Lodo. It's not real. That boy, if he grows up and he's not passing his exams, and Jesus too, we meet him and we preach to him and we give him Jesus. I'm telling you, that boy will confess in his class. Because he begins to stand up to say, Jesus Christ died for me. I can understand these things. My mind, I have understanding. He will use the death of Jesus Christ to overcome everything that death brings into the world. Dullness, sickness, poverty, disease, everything comes from. There's nothing you cannot understand. There's nothing you can understand. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm telling you. So let's just first of all know this about sin and then begin to deal with it. I know it's a long talk. But let's use it. Will you use it? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the entrance of your word gives light. I thank you because I've endeavored to bring your word to your people. And I thank you because by your spirit, you've communicated truth into their hearts, even beyond my communication, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you because I thank you because they live above sin. I thank you because they have seen and recognize that they are dead indeed to sin. And that they are alive to you. They are alive to you. They are more alive to you than they are alive to sin. I thank you because they've seen that now. And from today, right now, your grace that overpowers sin, that overcomes sin, is functioning in their life in the name of Jesus. Your grace that overcomes sin, just like your grace that overcomes the devil and overcomes sickness and poverty and disease, is upon and at work in their life. The grace, your grace that overcomes sin, is also at work in their life in the name of Jesus. The power and hold of sin is broken. They have seen that now, and they walk in the fullness of life in the name of Jesus. Sin shall no longer have dominion over their bodies. Sin shall no longer have dominion in their lives, because they are now under your grace and walking by your grace in the name of Jesus. Your grace has flooded and destroyed sin. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your cross. Thank you, Father, for your blood. Thank you, Father, for salvation. We have been saved from our sins. We have been empowered to go and sin no more. We live above the sin nature now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you for testimonies abound. Thank you for freedom now. Thank you for freedom now. I declare you are free from sin. In the name of Jesus. I declare you are free from sin. In the name of Jesus. You are dead to sin. You are alive to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise in the house.